the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
I'm sure I know all of you guys are familiar with the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, it is actually set up for... is broken up into two parts. There's two sections of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments, they deal with loving God. So every command of the first four deals with commanding us to love God, showing us the necessity and how to love God, to love the Lord, to not have any other gods before Him, to honor or not use His name in vain, and also to honor the Sabbath day. Those four commandments are all designed for us to show God our commitment, our dedication, and our love for Him. The following commandments, 5 through 10, which is six, the following six commandments, are all designed to teach us to love one another. You know, Jesus told some people, some scribes back when He was alive, they were challenging Him on the scriptures constantly. And one of the things that they asked Him, someone came to and asked Him, they said, the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses, which one is the most important law? And Jesus told him, I'll give you two commandments. He said, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and might. And He said, and the next one is equally as important, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So what He did is He summarized the two sections of the Ten Commandments. Instead of picking one commandment as it was trying to challenge Him to do, He did not do that. And He said that what He did is summarize all 10 of them in two sections. First, love God. Second, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So in all of that, basically what He did, He put all the commandments basically into two commandments. And so we have those 10 commandments that are broken up to two sections. But here, I want to focus on a particular commandment that I want to focus on today. Is the reason why I'm talking about commandments right now. But the fifth commandment, the first one that starts with teaching us or commanding us to love one another, that commandment is to honor your father and your mother. Many of us are very familiar with this. It also says in the Bible that this is the first commandment that's given with a promise. Actually, I think it might be the only commandment that's given with a promise. It says to honor your father and your mother, and you will live a long life on the earth. So that was the very first commandment, the fifth commandment, the very first commandment in loving one another. And then notice this. Notice the last commandment. The last commandment, it says, do not covet your neighbor. So the first commandment is honor your father and mother. The second one is do not covet your neighbor, or do not be envious of your neighbor, or do not be jealous of your neighbor. Could it be, asking the question, could it be that the first one about honoring our parents is the closest to God's heart when it comes to loving one another? Could it be that commandment to honor your mother and your father, could it be that that commandment could be the closest one to God's heart when in terms of us loving one another, because He gave that one with the promise? And then also, could it be on the last one, the last commandment, which is do not covet or do not envy your neighbor? Could it be, is it possible that that's the one thing that He hates more than all the rest, more than the rest of them? So the closest one to His heart, possibly, I'm not saying that this is the case, but I'm just asking, could it be? Could it be the first one when it comes to loving one another is the closest one to His heart, honor your mother and your father? And the last one, which is do not covet your neighbor, could it be that one could be the one that He hates the most? Possibly. So I want to take a look at this Ten Commandment. This Ten Commandment says, do not covet your neighbor. Some of us are very familiar with a phrase called the green-eyed mustard. This 10th commandment is summarized in that phrase, do, or the green-eyed mustard. We know the green-eyed mustard is envy. Envy in our hearts can be extremely detrimental to our future destiny. I want to say that one more time. I want you guys to grab hold of this. And this is what's going to lead us into the main discussion or the main topic of our message today. And that is envy in our hearts can be extremely detrimental to our future and our destiny. It is the thing that you guys remember. There was this angel in heaven called Lucifer. His name was Lucifer. This envious thing, this 10th commandment, it was the thing that caused Lucifer to lose everything he had. Everything. It was envy. It was a covetous heart. It was jealousy in his heart. That thing right there caused him to lose everything that he had. It caused him to lose his future and his destiny. Lucifer was the anointed cherub. Cherub is another word that's used for angels. So whenever you hear in the Bible, whenever you see in the Bible the word cherub, that word is used in reference to angels and only angels. It said Lucifer was the anointed cherub. You know, there's another person in the Bible that's referred to as the anointed. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is referred to, and he even said, I am the anointed one. I am the anointed one. Jesus definitely is the anointed one, but Lucifer was the anointed cherub, the anointed angel. Means that he was set aside or set apart for a divine purpose by God. Lucifer was set apart for a divine purpose by God. He was set apart from all the other angels and all of heaven and all of creation. He was something different. He was something special. He wasn't just a regular angel. He was an anointed angel. And this word cherub also means to be bestowed upon or God's or having God's favor. Lucifer was an angel that had God's favor. There's other references of angels being referred to as, you know, cherubs, but this particular angel right here, Lucifer, was set apart. He was different. He was appointed for a special place and a special function, which we're going to discover that here in a little bit as we go on. He was set apart. He was appointed for a special place and a special function. God had given him a certain amount of power and a certain amount of authority. But Lucifer, he perverted that power and he perverted that authority that was given to him. Lucifer wanted to exalt himself above God rather than just be the angel that God created him to be, rather than just be that cherub angel, that anointed cherub angel that God had made him to be, rather than just be happy and satisfied with that place that he was created to be and that person or that angel that he was created to be, he wanted to exalt himself above God. It wasn't enough that he was this set aside, special, appointed angel for a certain purpose outside of all the other angels and all of heaven and all of creation. That wasn't enough for him. He had to be exalted higher than God. Lucifer was jealous. Why was Lucifer jealous? When we look into the story, we can discover why was Lucifer jealous. Lucifer was jealous because of Jesus. Jesus and his place caused Lucifer to become jealous. Lucifer was jealous of Jesus because God had given Jesus the same amount of power and authority that he had himself. God made Jesus, appointed Jesus with the same equal level of authority and power as himself. Lucifer is asking a question. He's wondering, he's pondering in his mind and in his heart. Well, hey, wait a minute. I'm this special angel. I'm this one. Why come God didn't exalt me to that same level of equality like he did with Jesus? Why did he put me in that place? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. And, you know, we're not going to try to answer all those reasons, but maybe one of them is because Jesus is his son. I mean, you know, that's like a no-brainer, right? But Jesus had the same amount of authority. He had the same amount of power. And Lucifer was jealous of that. Lucifer had been given the authority above all other angels in all of heaven. He was the highest ranking angel in all of heaven. There was no one higher than him. You know, we know the three part of God, or three makings of God, as we know it. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, okay? Who was ranked next in line? Who was ranked just right underneath them? Lucifer. There was no one else. There was no angel, no one, no nothing that was ranked higher than Lucifer. None other than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Lucifer, that wasn't enough for him. That wasn't satisfying to him. But his jealousy didn't come just because of God being who God was. It came from God doing what God did, and that is giving Jesus the same amount of authority and the same amount of power as himself. In the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, the world already exists," or the word already exists. Here in this verse, the word "word" is capitalized. Anytime you see the word capitalized or the word capitalized throughout the Bible, that's a direct reference to Jesus Christ. One of his heavenly names is the Word. Jesus said, "I am the Word." Jesus said, "I am the truth." So here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, or the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. In all of creation, there was nothing created except through Jesus Christ. The authority and the power that God had given Jesus Christ. And when God created everything, he did it with that same equality, equal power and authority with Jesus Christ standing side by side with him. In verse number 4, it says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." In the book of Genesis, chapter 26, it said, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So here we have a situation where Jesus has been given the same equal power and authority as God. Lucifer is ranked just underneath that. No other angel in all of heaven ranked higher than him. Okay? Then, at some point, we have this creation of this earth. And in this creation of the earth, there was creeping things that was created. There was animals, there was light, there was darkness, there was small animals, large animals. And then God created man and woman. And the envy that was beginning to fester in Lucifer's heart because of the position and the placement of Jesus Christ, that envy then began to get even stronger and began to grow out of control when God created man and woman. You ever ask yourself the question, why does Satan hate us so much? Why does he dislike us so much? Why does he try to destroy our lives so much? We're going to answer that question today. We ain't did nothing to Satan. Any of y'all in here did something to Satan? We haven't did nothing to this dude. We haven't done nothing to him, but he keep coming at us. He keep coming at us. Why? We're going to find out. In the book of Genesis, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Lucifer was not created in God's image. And he was not created to be like God or Jesus. But he had a position of power and authority that was like none other. But that wasn't enough for him. It goes on and said that they will reign over the fish. They will reign over the fish. Y'all listen to this now. The authority and the power of man and woman is being given here. In verse number 26 in the first chapter of Genesis, it says that man and woman, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, all the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God gave man and woman the authority over the earth. So Jesus has equal authority with God over all of heaven and all of creation. Now he created man and woman. And man and woman has equal or has the authority and power over all the earth. Lucifer is like, wait a minute, hold up. You mean to tell me you're going to put these little peons right here in charge of the entire earth that you just made? You mean to tell me these people are the ones that you're going to put in charge of the earth and everything on it? God's like, yes. Envy grew even deeper in his heart. Because of Lucifer's jealousy of Jesus and for us, he sought out to exalt himself above Jesus and God. God was angered at his actions and the sin in his heart. And because he was angered at his actions and the sin in his heart, God expelled him from heaven. God kicked him out of heaven. And he stripped him of his position. We're going to talk about the position of that Lucifer held in heaven. He stripped him of his position and he stripped him of his placement. Lucifer was created and appointed for a particular purpose. He was created for a particular place. And because of the envy in his heart, he lost all of it. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 12, it says, Son of man, God is speaking to the Son of man. We know who the Son of man is. It's Jesus Christ. It says here, Son of man, take up lamentations. The word lamentations means sadness and regret. It says, take up lamentations upon the king of Tyrus. The king of Tyrus is known to be Satan. Okay? It says, take up lamentations upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So here God has given Jesus the assignment and the responsibility to go address Lucifer about his sins. Okay? Now, I want y'all to picture this. You got to grab hold of this imagery that's being spoken here in the Word of God. In order to really understand it, you got to see it. So imagine this. God's in charge. Jesus is equally has the same amount of authority and power as God does. Lucifer is the highest ranking angel in all of heaven. God created this earth, and when he created this earth, he appointed man and woman to have dominion over it and to reign over it, the entire earth. And now Lucifer is raging with sin in his heart, which is born and festered as envy. He's jealous and he's exalting himself above God. The Bible says that he recruited a third of the angels in heaven to join him in his attempt to overtake God's throne. So here, this situation is happening, and God gives Jesus the responsibility, the one that Satan is already mad at, the one that Satan is already jealous about. God gives Jesus the responsibility to go address Satan and deal with him concerning his sin. He says, "Son of man, take up lamentations, take up sadness and regret upon the king of Tyrus, which is Satan. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord, tell him this is what I have to say about him and his actions. Thou sealest up the sum. Thou sealest up the sum." You know what that means? That means there is none other like you. What's the sum of an equation? The answer. What's the sum of the equation? The final. 1 + 1 is what? 2. 2 is the sum. Thou sealest up the sum. It said, Lucifer, you had it all. There was no other that had more than you. You had it all, Lucifer. Everything. You was the highest ranking angel in all of heaven, but that wasn't good enough for you. He said, you sealed up the sum. He says, full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Who else, Lucifer, has more wisdom than you, other than the Father and the Son? Who else, Lucifer? You, full of wisdom. You got it all. He says, perfect. Perfect in beauty. Perfect, not a flaw. Not a chipped tooth, not a scratch, not a gray hair. I better not say not a gray hair because I love gray hairs. Y'all know what I mean? Gray hairs are perfect and beautiful. But y'all, he didn't have a scratch, not a flaw, not a nothing. Everything about Lucifer and his creation, his person, everything about him was perfect. It says perfect in beauty. When people saw Lucifer, they saw perfection. If God, here's a question for you. If God is so good, then why did he create Satan? If he's so good, why did he create Satan? A lot of people get tripped up with questions like this. You know, people say, why, if God is so good, why does he let, you know, all this natural disasters happen? If God is so good, why is he letting people die of sickness and disease? If God is so good, why is he letting all these murders and killings and stuff go on? If God is so good, why did he create Satan? I'm going to give you the answer to all of those questions right here in answering this one question. And that is, God did not create Satan. God created Lucifer. Lucifer was perfect in beauty. Lucifer was full of wisdom. Lucifer sealeth up the sum, none other like him. God didn't create Satan. God created Lucifer. Lucifer was perfect in all of his ways, but his iniquity was, that was iniquity found in him. And it was not put there. God didn't put that iniquity in him. He allowed that to happen on his own. He festered that on his own. He built that on his own instead of guarding and protecting his own heart, as the Bible commands us to do. It tells us to guard and to protect our own heart. God did not create Lucifer, or God did not create Satan. God created Lucifer. In the 13th verse, in the book of Ezekiel, as we're going to continue to read on here, it says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So this is the message that continues on that God gave Jesus to deliver to Lucifer. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Every precious stone was the covering of Lucifer. You think about it. It says the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. the workmanship of thy tabourets, thy drums, and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. When God created, okay, let me stop here. When God created Lucifer, so picture this, every precious stone was in his creation. So I don't know exactly what this looked like, but just use your imagination. Maybe his fingernails, y'all know how y'all ladies get y'all go get y'all manicures and pedicure. Maybe his fingernails and toenails were just laced with onyx and sapphires and topaz and diamonds. Maybe his teeth, y'all see the dudes walking around with these blings all in their mouth, right? Bling, bling, you know. Maybe he had some grills. Maybe he had some grills with diamonds all in his teeth and stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe his eyes were made of precious stones that when he blinked his eyes, it bling every time. I'm just using my imagination, y'all. I got a wild imagination and God gave it to me. So I'm just trying to put an image in your face. All these precious stones was in his creation. So I'm saying to myself, if all these stones are in his creation, where are they at? They're probably in his eyes. His eyes was probably blinging. His teeth was probably blinging. His fingernails and toenails was probably blinging. You know, to say angels have big wings. Maybe he had stones stretched throughout his wings. You know, I don't know, but it was in him. Every precious stone was in him. It says that his workmanship was of tabouret, drums. And he had pipes built within him. I don't know what these pipes and these drums was at. Maybe when he walked, you heard it. And it sounded like the beating of a kettle drum. Boom. Boom. Y'all know how back in the day they had them movies with them giants, right? And when them giants come walking up on the scene, you just boom. And everything just shook. The ground just shook. Boom. Boom. Maybe when Lucifer walked in, it was like that. Maybe when he walked in, it was like you heard him walk in. It was like the beating of a drum and pipes. You know, maybe he had a voice that when he opened his mouth and he, even without singing, because he was perfect. Keep in mind, maybe without singing, maybe his voice was so pure and so perfect. It was just like pipes, like it was just melody to everybody's ears. Maybe when he spoke, it was like, woo. Dude got the best voice in the whole world. Y'all know how some people, you know, they say, like people on TV or people that they make money with their voice and stuff like that. You know, some of y'all ladies, y'all go crazy over men because you're like, ooh, listen to his voice. Maybe that dude had a voice that just captivated everybody. Some of y'all are old enough to remember the commercial back in the day. It said, when E.F. Hutton spoke, everybody listened. Maybe Lucifer had a voice that was so powerful and so strong that was like pipes that every time he spoke, everybody listened. In the 14th verse, it says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou art, I want you to pay attention to this verse right here, because we're sturdy breaking down and as to who Lucifer was and where he was at and his placement, his appointment, his assignments. Some people say, you know, with the pipes and them drums built in them, some people say that he was the leader of God's choir. I don't know. But let me show you something that I do know. In verse number 14, it says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. What's being described here is Lucifer's assignment, his placement. And that was, he was the head angel. He was the appointed, not an appointed cherub. He was the, not appointed, anointed, not an anointed cherub. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. What's a cover? He was the protector. He was the guardian. He was the sergeant at arms. He wasn't even a sergeant at arms because he was higher than that. He was, what's the highest military position? What's the highest military position? Is it general? Five-star general? No. Commander in chief is the president, so that's God, but with the highest ranking general, there was none other higher than him. He was the head of the military. He was head of everything. He was the one. It says, I have set you. So God said, I appointed you as the covering appointed or anointed cherub. I placed you there. God is saying to him, he says, thou was upon the holy mountains of God. When you think about a kingdom, the castle sits on the hill. The castle sits on the top of the hill, that holy mountain. He says, you was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walkest up and down in the midst of the stone and fires. Meaning you had free access to all of heaven, to all of the kingdom, free access to all of the palace, all of the king's chamber. You came in and out. You went as you pleased. You had access to everything. Lucifer, there was none other. You was the one that was in charge. This is not an earthly kingdom. This was a world that was beyond earth because he was the anointed cherub. In verse number 15, it says, thou was perfect in thy ways. I'm almost finished, guys. He said, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. From the very day that he was born, he was perfect. It says, till iniquity was found in thee. It says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane. What's profane? If someone got profane language, what they got? They got a foul mouth. What's profane? Cuss. We like to say cuss, but curse. Curse. It says, I will cast thee out as profane. I will cast thee out as cursed out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Your placement has been lost. I am stripping you of your position. You had everything. You was the highest ranking. You was perfect in all of your ways from the very day that you was born. You was created with all the precious stones built within you. When you walked, when you moved, there was a drum sound. When you spoke, there was like pipes of organs, like the beautiful sound. Perfect in everything. You was the highest. You had access to me and my kingdom in every way whatsoever. I am taking it all away from you. No longer will you have access anymore. Lucifer was the fence of protection. Lucifer was the covering. He was the defender. He was the hedge of all of God's kingdom. He was the head angel. He was the protector, the defender. In verse number 17, it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Because of the envy in his heart, Lucifer lost all that he had, and he was expelled from heaven, and he lost his future and his destiny. He even lost his name. He was stripped of everything, even his name. He could no longer carry the name Lucifer any longer. Lucifer, the name Lucifer, was a perfect name. It was a blessed name. It was a name of power and authority. And he could no longer hold that name anymore because he was not worthy to carry that name anymore. Sometimes people are stripped of their names. If an officer does something wrong, his commanding officer will take his badge away from him. Lucifer had his badge stripped away from him that day, which included his name, thus giving the name Satan. So I ask you, if God is so good, why did he create Satan? God created Lucifer. Lucifer created Satan. If we allow for envy in our hearts, we are in danger of the same thing happening to us. If we allow for jealousy to build in our hearts, we endanger ourselves of the same thing happening to us. The 10th commandment, do not covet thy neighbor. Do not allow for envy and jealousy to build so strongly within you to where you lose your destiny, to where you lose your future, to where you lose your purpose, and maybe even lose your name. If we allow envy in our hearts, we could lose everything. And the same thing can happen to us that happened to him. Our lives aren't as bad as it seems. Why do people get jealousy in their hearts? It's because they are looking at others and looking at themselves and thinking that theirs is not good enough. Theirs is not good enough. And so they need to get more and they need to get what the next person have. And sometimes even going to the place of trying to take what somebody else have. Our lives really isn't that bad, or it's not as bad as it seems. We actually live good lives in comparison to majority of people in the world. There is a thing online. There's a website online. I'm going to have to look it up. I used to have a bookmark on my laptop, but there's a salary calculator or wage calculator of the entire earth. There's a wage calculator, and what it does is you put your annual wage in there, what you make per year, you put it in there, and what it does, it shows you, based on the average income throughout the entire world, it shows you where you lie at. And I remember years ago, I did that, and between me and Marguerite, I found that we were in the top, I think, 20% of the entire world. And what we made, we would never even think or imagine. I would imagine that all of us on here right now, based on what I learned and what I saw in that, is that all of us in here are probably are at least 50% higher than 50% of the world. When we consider the world and we consider what's going on around us, our lives really isn't as bad as we really think it is. And so thus, we ask ourselves the question, well, why do we have to be jealous? Everything isn't perfect, but in comparison, it's good. We are blessed people. We can look around right now and there's somebody close to you that you love, somebody that you can touch, someone that whose voice that you can hear. We've lost ones, we've lost loved ones, but we still have some here with us. Not just some, we still have many with us. Okay. Just look down the street on the block that you live on. I'm sure that you can find someone who's worse off than you. I'm sure you can find someone who has more stuff going on in their lives than what you got going on. I'm sure you can look at yourself in comparison to them, and in comparing of your life to someone else's life is not to put them down, but it's to appreciate the blessing that you have. Look at different parts of the country. You know, we talk about Memphis. Memphis is a bad place. Our crime here is out of control, and we talk about how bad it is in Memphis all the time. But I'm gonna tell you this, Memphis, compared to some other places in this country, Memphis is, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And I'll tell you one of the things is when it comes to racism, I'm okay with it. Memphis, you guys just don't know. The level of racism that you experience here in Memphis does not compare to a majority of the country and what our brothers and sisters are dealing with. It doesn't compare. Because African-Americans, because Black people are the majority here in Memphis, the level of racism is not experienced like it is, like some of our brothers and sisters are experiencing in other places in the country. They may be making more money. They may be living in a less crime-infested area, but the racism that they're experiencing, is killing them. It's killing them softly. Memphis ain't the best place, but Memphis is a good place. It's better than a lot of other places. Look at our country. Compare our country to other countries. We're blessed. We have no reason to be jealous. We have no reason to have envy to build in our hearts. And if we do allow for envy to build in our hearts, if we allow ourselves to covet our neighbor, it could cause us to lose our future. It could cause us to lose our destiny. It could cause us to lose our name. The last commandment that God gave, do not covet your neighbor. Could it be that that's the one he hates the worst?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.